And again, I say, good morning. What a grand and spectacular day the Lord has made for us. It's not raining, it's not too hot, it's not too cold. He gave us a beautiful day. And He gave us each other. And I welcome you. I was preparing to begin the service and putting incense in. The simple act of putting incense, I started to choke up and just being overwhelmed in what God is doing. It is general practice here at the church that we tend to follow the lectionary. It's a general practice here at the church that we tend to follow the seasons of the year. Both of those are out the window. We're in ordinary time. I have to say that because there's a bishop sitting in my midst. And ordinary time is green. In case you're colorblind, this isn't green. We read the lectionary. We were that much prominent. I just came back from meeting with our bishop and all our priests, and he talked about we got to do things that make us look like we know what we're doing. So I'm confessing I know what we're doing, and we're not doing it right. But this is a special day, and it's a celebration day for this church. Amen. And so we're doing it a little bit different on purpose. See, it's different when you're doing it wrong on purpose. It's called knowingly asking for forgiveness later. Today is a day of celebration. And I've been thinking for weeks, okay, it's a day of celebration. What sets it apart? And what sets it apart is for this church, God is doing something unique. And it's doing it unique because y'all are joining us. And many of you have been a part of us. And we've not been far from you in your prayers. See, you're still part of us, as is witnessed by your being here today. And so the title of this sermon today is Remembering What God Has Done. And one of the unique things that we've got to know is that God, in His wisdom and His creation and Him giving us the ability to make choice, He knew that we were going to have trouble in remembering the things that God has done. We somehow forget. And so throughout the Old Testament, God continually tells us to build memorials, to remember those things that God has done. It's not that He thinks we're dumb. He just knows that we get caught up in getting caught up. And we're not any different than the children of Israel with that. We're not living any faster in our society. We tend to think, oh my gosh, we live so fast. Yeah, we have internet and we tweet and we twit and we do all these other things that I can't even remember the names of. And it seems like we go really fast, but they kind of went fast back then to then too. I mean, donkeys went really fast. They were faster than walking. And camels were really, really fast. And when all you had before them were walking, that was like really fast. So it's all relevant to where you were. And God said to the children of Israel, remember those things that I have done. And the things that the children of Israel had that we have that we've got to remember, whether you're part of the COM or you're back today because you're our brothers and sisters that have been on a journey and you came back to join us for a family reunion, that the children of Israel have that we have, is there something called a mark of perseverance? We have persevered. Wherever you are, we've persevered. We haven't walked away from the faith. Whether you've crossed the Jordan or you've crossed your personal Jordan. There's been a perseverance. And we need to remember our milestones. See, God realized that man would often forget. And so I chose today for the scripture an Old Testament passage to help us remember. Joshua 4, 1 through 11. And it came to pass, when all of the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from there, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place. Now remember the term lodging place. That's going to become important. Where you will lodge tonight. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua and each man was each one of you take up a stone on his shoulders according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in the time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And when you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and they took the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, and the Lord, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children, and they carried them over with them to a place where they had lodged and laid them down. And then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there they are to this day. And so the priest who bore the Ark in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. The key verse here is found in verse 7. And it uses the term memorial, which is to remember. If you don't take anything on today, God is calling us as a people to remember the things that He has done. One of the things I got to remember, Smith has always sit on the left-hand side. And they're over on the right. I got to remember that they're here because they're not sitting where they normally do. In Deuteronomy 6:12, Moses issued a final warning to the children of Israel just before they entered the promised land. And he said, lest you forget the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. See, back even in Deuteronomy, the Lord was warning the people of Israel, don't forget where you came from. Given the man's propensity to forget, it's a little wonder that memorials play such an important role, not only in our religion, but even in our nation's history. Go to any small town, and there in the middle of the town, you'll normally find a park. And in the middle of the park, you'll find two things. You'll find a band hut, and you'll find a memorial. And it'll be a memorial to some war hero. Whether it's a Civil War hero, a First War hero, a Second War hero, it'll be some hero, some remembrance of what someone in that town has done in the past. A calling backwards of a hero. An attempt to remember that someone from that town played a significant role and the protection of the nation. Even in Jacksonville, they're all over town. There's monuments. There's times. There's events. God has called us. The nation has called us. The Vietnam War Memorial. One of the most dishonored wars. Not because it was wrong, but because the news media turned against it. And I'm not going yay or nay, except we turned against our own people. And when they came home, the only war that we ever turned against our own people. And finally, we've started recognizing what our people did to protect ourselves. And we give an honor where honor's due. Men fought because they were told to fight. Whether it was an honorable war or a dishonorable war, it doesn't matter. Men gave their lives because they were assigned to give their lives. Here, people were assigned to cross over. And I don't know if everybody had full belief, but they had full faith. Because they saw the waters build up. The instructions in verse 2 and 5 was that 12 men were to go back. They had crossed over. They were to go back into the raging waters. And they were to take the stones. Now there are three things I want us to get out of this passage today that is as timely today as it was then. First, when God is moved in our lives, there's a time that we got to remember what He has done. We don't go, oh, that was neat, and then go on and leave our married way. When God is moved in our life, and I want to remind the COM people that not 2 months or 3 months ago, we came to you and we said, we've got to move. And we called you to prayer. We called you to 30 days of prayer, and within 1 week, a contract was signed for this premise. We didn't have a contract. We just knew God had said the time at JU was finished. There was a hope for here. There was a glimmer. A glimmer was all. And it didn't look like much of a glimmer. But because you were faithful to pray within 1 week, the tide was broken, if you'll remember. God moved because we were faithful to pray. In verse 7b of chapter 4, it says, and these stones will be a memorial of the children to the children of Israel. I want you to know this place will be a memorial to your children of the prayer that went up when we were at JU. This is not our final resting place. This is a memorial of what God will do when we're faithful in prayer. This is our camp. As the children of Israel camped in Gilgad, and they built an altar. This is our camp. This is a reminder of what God will do. Each of us. Whether you're at COM or you're at another church and you've been praying for us, each of us have a personal experience of something God's done in our life. We need to remember what God has done. We need to write it down, lest our memory fades and we forget exactly what it was. Now, for some of you, God has spoken. I remember the first time God spoke to me. I was in the chapel at St. David's. And I was by myself, and I spent 15 minutes looking behind the altar and under every chair because I just knew someone was in that chapel goofing on me. Now, I'm sure that the voice wasn't audible enough that it came outside of me, but it was loud enough within me. I was convinced someone was in that altar talking. I mean, someone was in that chapel, and they were goofing on me. And I didn't like what I heard, so I knew. It wasn't near Thanksgiving, but I just knew someone was goofing on me. So no, I didn't write it down, but it's like blocked in my memory. I can't erase it. 5 in the morning, I have had people tell me God doesn't get up at 5 in the morning. Got news for you. He does, and he's ready to talk. You have memorials in your life. And those memorials you need to be able to say to your children, what do those stones mean to you? What do those things mean to you? They're reminders of your personal experience, what you saw, heard, and felt. Saints of God, when God moves in our life, you got to tell the story. God doesn't speak for you to hide it under a rock. You got to keep a clear memory of what God did for you. You got to keep telling the story and never lose the sense of awe or wonder of what God is doing in your life. I ask you this morning, what has God done in your life that's changed your direction? If we're honest, Freddie, we don't, because God is constantly talking to us. Whether you realize it or not, we all have memorials. Oh, they might not be physical monument stones, but they're God-inspired moments. They're places, and these places trigger memories, like the memorial stones at Gilgad that we find here in Joshua. There's significant places that elicit these memories. The little church in Panama City where I was saved, I can't go within 50 miles of Bay City, right outside of Panama City, without thinking of, not Bay City, Lynn Haven, without thinking of that church. Deering Chapel at St. David's, where I first heard the voice of God and searched for the character that was speaking. It's a special place to me. To this day, if I drive down Fort Caroline Road, I glance over at Deering Chapel. It's no longer called St. David's, but Deering Chapel is still there. It reminds me of the things that God has done in my life. You have such places. Record them, remember them, tell them to your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. There are memories of people. Father Rick Hatfield, who was a father to me, who gave us this altar. This was in his church in St. Pete. I never will see this altar, but what I pray for Father Rick Hatfield, he's with the saints in heaven. But I never, ever serve at this altar. But what a prayer for Rick Hatfield and for Jan and for Rick's family doesn't go up. For a man who became the brother to me that I never had, Henry Reese, he just knew when to call me when I was down. The son of a pastor, he knew what I was going through. Another man who most people would just discount, but I learned more about prayer from a man named George Noble than most people will ever realize. These are saints all in heaven, all in the great host of witnesses, all, I'm convinced, ever interceding for us. But these are memories of people who God used in my life. Y'all have people who God used in your lives. Don't forget them. But what I want to know is, do you often think about them? And do you thank God for them? Because there are memories of experience when God answered prayer in unique and wonderful ways in your life. God's always been proud. I remember for Janice and I, we have had some extremely hard times, and how God has miraculously filled our needs from the nothing He's completed our needs. We've learned some invaluable lessons of faith. These lessons of faith are not something easily taught, but when you experience them, you grab a hold to them, and the devil can't shake them, because you know the hand of God is mighty. I challenge you to spend some time thinking of your memorial stones and let them draw you closer to God and remind you of His faithfulness and of His covenant that He chose to settle with you. You didn't get a covenant with God. He brought His covenant to you. And He put Himself on the line because you had nothing to give Him. And that's what He did to the children of Israel. He brought a way out of the wilderness for them. And He brought a way for us and for you individually. Additional memorial stones are to serve as a basis of our sharing the faith with our children. My greatest joy in life is to watch little Kyla grow up and to tell her how special she is in the eyes of God. And what a blessing she is to us because of Jesus. She'll never know a day outside of the church of God because her mother and her father see to it. And if they ever stop it, there's a baseball bat that I'm going to re-educate them with. But they make that part of their life. In the same chapter of Joshua, both in verses 6 and 7 and verses 21 and 23, it talks about the parents' responsibility to communicate to the children and to the grandchildren the word of God's love. It's important. The intention of the memorial is to provide to future generations. Christianity can go extinct in one generation. And America could be the exhibit A of that, the way our government. And we are responsible for our government. If we as Christians don't begin voting, the conservative value of our faith, we will give the church its exit visa. God's warning to Israel was not to allow the environment of a pagan society that surrounds them to dictate their internal values. In Deuteronomy 6, 12 through 15, it says, "Then be aware, lest you forget that the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him. You shall take an oath in His name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth." Remember what God has done in your life. Two, it is time for renewing your personal commitment. As we move into this building, it is not a time to camp out and to cook marshmallows on an open fire and sing Kumbaya. When the children of Israel camped out in Gilgad, it wasn't a time to celebrate. Hallelujah! It's all done. No, they had a whole land that they had to take possession of. Saints of God, the work has just begun. You visitors today that have been praying for us, double down your prayers. There's a land to take over. Our work has just begun. There are neighborhoods to win. I praise God for Fort Caroline Presbyterian Church. I made a real faux pas. We did a community function together on All's Hallows Eve, and we were working really hard, and they were really helping us, and I looked at them, and I called them Arlington Presbyterian Church. That's who begun them. I went, oh, that was really good. They said, not if you want to maintain your friendship. But here's the deal. They've been very good friends. They got work to do. We got work to do. We're revitalizing them. They're revitalizing us. But there's a community to win. And we got to do much work. And we got to renew our commitment to God to reach out, to evangelize. We've begun evangelism explosion work here in this church. We had a team at our fall festival. Two people gave their life to the Lord. That's just the beginning. That's just a start. We've got work to do. Y'all pray for us. There's much more work to be done. It seems that while there's something really neat that many people don't notice here in verse 9, it seems while the children of the 12 men of Israel were carrying the stones to the shore, Joshua was picking 12 more stones up and laying them at the feet of the priest. And he was building a personal altar. And it says that to this day, that altar is still there under the water. Saints of God, we've got to build a personal altar. It's not enough to have an altar here. We've got to have an altar here. We've got to commit our altar here that's greater than our altar here. Or our altar here. We've got to learn to give it all. What's the old song, All to Him I Owe? It's time for a recommitment for all of us. Every day, we need to get up. And we need, before we even need, God, to you I give this day. Myself, my will, my awkward way. Let me honor you in all I say, all I do, and all I am. And at the end of the day, God, if I provoked your wrath, if I've disappointed you, forgive me. May tomorrow I do better. It's time, number three, to roll away our great defeats. We need to build our memorial, number one. We need to recommit, renew our personal commitment, and we need to stop living in our old defeats. Today is a new day! God is doing new things! And we want to be part of what He's doing. And may God use us all to His glory, that on that day, whether it's Him splitting the eastern sky or Him calling us home, we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter your rest. Saints, today is not the day that we enter our rest. That's for the day to come into the future. Today's a day of work, of toil, of labor. Whether it's as Dr. Travis, where he's trying to get 250,000 miles of air a year, traveling the nation, or whether it's Freddie trying to get 100,000 miles driving around town from prison to prison, sharing the Word of God. It doesn't matter what we do, but let us give God the glory in all that we do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.